I'm just happy to be here and praising the Lord that I am here. Because last week I was sick. I didn't go to work last week. And we have a beautiful prayer meeting Wednesday. A lot of good testimonies with the prayer partners. And I couldn't be here, but I was so happy to hear the beautiful testimonies were given. And I will encourage all the prayer partners to keep praying. We will have a meeting next week after the service. All the prayer partners. So we're going to prepare for a week of prayer in March. And I would like to invite everybody for next Sabbath after service here in the sanctuary. It's in the bulletin, so you don't forget. I want to just give a little testimony of, you know, I have many. It says one of many. How God works in our hearts and in our lives, how wonderfully He is with us. He protects us, He guides us, He leads us when we seek Him, when we come to Him. He is an awesome God. When my husband died, this was on August 15. I went to many trials, a lot of things that because he just had a heart attack, and when he was admitted in the hospital, he was only 5 days. But I praise God because He gave us the opportunity to be with him. My sons and I, we flew over there. He went on vacation in New Mexico. He was a Native American from New Mexico. He went to see his relatives over there, his cousins and sisters. And one of my sons went with him on vacation. And that's when that happened over there. He had a heart attack. And I praise God because we all were there. All, you know, his wife, his children. And he had got to see all his relatives over there, so I think for me it was a blessing. But you know, we were married over 30 years, 30 some years, praise God. It doesn't mean that things always went well, up and downs, but I praise God because we stick together and we work together. And in my heart, I never wanted to be divorced, because I know God hates divorces. But, and we had a good life, and, but what happened is that I was the second wife. He was married before. For me, he was my first husband. First marriage, but I was the second wife. And then when I married him, he had a house. And he didn't do it on time. I mean, he did it when God permitted him, but what I wanted to get is that when he was real sick in the hospital, that's when he did the will. Because he has also two daughters from the first marriage. They don't live here, and they left early. So, but he was telling me, I want you and my son John to stay home. I don't want you to be struggling looking for a place to live. So God gave him just the time to do the will. But then after that, you know, after we buried him and everything, we came home. And I was sitting on the couch thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have money to get a lawyer, and I, even though the will was there, but that house was only his name was on the title. So I needed to petition that into the court. And I said, I don't have money to pay for a lawyer. What am I going to do? So God bring me a person. She's not a lawyer, but she does legal things, and she helped me. But before that, I had a very strange dream. I don't know if it happened to you that you dream something and you don't know really what is the meaning of the dream. So in my dream, it seemed like I was going out of San Jose in my car, and then I stopped in a place where there was like a cave, rocks, a lot of big rocks there. And I was looking for I don't know what. I went to the cave, and suddenly, when I was getting out of there, two little snakes came and got all over me, and they were biting me. They were mad, biting me and all over me, and I tried to, you know, take them out of me, and I couldn't till they, I guess, got tired of biting me, and suddenly they left. And I was, in my dream, I said, am I going to die? You know, it's poison. This can kill people. Am I going to die? In the dream, I remember the scripture. One of the scriptures where Paul say that not even the the poison of the snakes will hurt you. And I say, and then in my dream, I was standing and I say, are they gonna kill me or what? But I don't feel nothing. I'm not feeling like any symptoms, you know? And then I said, but God says that not even the poison will kill us. So then I woke up when I was saying that. I woke up and I said, what a strange dream. So when I went to this person to help me to do the paperwork to file petition for the house, I told her, you know, I had this dream. And while we were doing the paperwork and I told her, you know, we were putting the information and everything, I have to put all my the names of my stepdaughters, my sons, even his sisters in there. And then she said, and I told her about the dream that I had dreamed before, and then she said, hey, Margarita, I wonder if those snakes, the meaning that maybe, I hope your stepdaughters don't come and fight for the house, because if they come and they fight for the house, I won't be able to help you because I'm not a lawyer. Then you have to get a lawyer. So I was praying and praying, and I said, God, I don't have money. I said, I just wait for you and your will be done, whatever your will is. So we did all the process. We went to the court and everything. I sent the letters that required to be sent to all the people. So they got the letters, but they didn't respond. But we were thinking that everything was okay. But when we went to the court, they appeared there on the first hearing. So when I saw them, I was surprised because I didn't expect them. And then I say hello, and I wanted to talk to them, but they didn't want to talk to me. So I feel bad because I say, you know, sometimes, you know, things separate the family. And but then When we went inside the court, they told the judge that they wanted to proceed. And I was thinking, oh, he gave us another date, and I was thinking, are they coming again? Are they going to get a lawyer? What am I going to do? I said, I can't get a lawyer. So I just waited. And I said, I'm going to wait for the next hearing. But I was praying. And I was praying and praying, asking the Lord, your will be done. I always ask the Lord that his will be done, because his will is good. And we know how much he loves us. And he loves all of us. He doesn't love only certain people. He loves all of us. But he does manifest with the ones that seek him. So, and I want to read the psalm, the words of the psalm, where the Lord, this is a promise and what the Lord says to us in Psalm 91. I will read from verse 9. And he says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lions and the cobras, the young lions and the serpents you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. This is what the Lord says, because he set his love upon me. And then he says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I always like to pray this psalm, and especially in the times of trouble. This is one of the psalms that I always pray. I want to pray before I start with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your compassion, Lord, for taking care of us. Father, you are the greatest provider. There is no other like you, Lord. And we know, Father, that you always, always take care of us, no matter how we are, Father. You have open arms for us, and I praise you, and I thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this message today, Lord, something in our hearts, that we may be faithful to you also, Lord, and loyal to you, Lord, as you are with us, Father. You are a faithful God. And Father, we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask, Father, that you be with us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is about the story of Joseph. Joseph also had a dream, and also because of his dream, the brothers hate him. And I would start on Genesis chapter 7. It says, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the story of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bila and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. And Israel is Jacob. You guys remember that God changed his name for Israel. So Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. I have also a quote. I believe that Jacob loved all his children, but because he favored Joseph, the other children were upset. And I want to read this quote from Ellen White about parental favoritism. And it says, Joseph's mother being dead, his affection clung the more closely to the father, and Jacob's heart was bound up in his child of his old age. He loved Joseph more than all his children. But even this affection was to become a cause of trouble and sorrow. Jacob unwisely manifested his preference for Joseph, and this excited the jealousy of his sons, of his other sons. So now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheep in the field. Then behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheep stood all around and bowed down to my sheep. And his brother said to him, should you indeed reign over us? Or should you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and saying to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Should your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envy him, but his father kept the matter in mind. That caused Joseph to be sold to, so Joseph was sold to, by his brothers. In chapter 12 says, chapter 9, verse 12, says, then his brothers went to feed their father's flocks in Shechem, and Israel sent Joseph to check on his brothers. So Joseph obeyed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So Joseph went to the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. And now a certain man found Joseph. He was wandering in the field, and men asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding the flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here to, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and he should say, and we should say, some wild beast had devoured him. We should see that what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So Reuben wanted to take Joseph to his father, but we know that God had a purpose for this. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water on it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bringing spices, balms, and myrrh on the way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brothers listening. Then the Midianites traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brother and said, the lad is no more, and I, where should I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast have devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob torn his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. And Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. I like this. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So this was Potiphar. And I just have a question. Why Joseph was a successful man? Joseph was a successful man because God was with Joseph. Potiphar was a man of the worship other gods. He even saw that the true God, the God Almighty, was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all things prosper in Joseph's hands. Apostle Paul say in Philippians 4:8, for us to do, and the God of peace will be with us. So this is what Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Then the things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do. That's what Apostle Paul said. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Why the Lord was with Joseph and prospered everything in his hand? Was he not loyal? Was he not faithful? Joseph loved God, and that love causes Joseph to be loyal to God, and because he loved God, it causes Joseph to be faithful and to be loyal with his master. That love causes Joseph to show integrity to God, to his master, and to everyone around him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, love is the key. To love God first, to center him in our hearts. Because when we center Jesus Christ in our hearts, we will be able to love one another, to love others. But God needs to be first in our hearts, and he fills us with his love. We cannot do it ourselves. Only Jesus Christ living in us. Just like Apostle Paul say, I don't live, but Christ lives in me. And when Christ lives in us, we don't act by ourselves. It's Jesus Christ acting on us, and we are going to show the love, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, patience, and all the fruits. I would like to read also Colossians 1:29. To this, and I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This is Jesus Christ, the work in us mightily. For and then Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. The person that loves God is going to be loyal, is going to be faithful and obedient to God, also will be obedient to others without compromising their faith. Because we know we are to obey God first, then men. Joseph was faithful. He was truth, devoted, constant, steadfast, staunch, dependable, reliable, trusted, trustworthy, trusty, full, dutiful, dedicated, unchanging, unwavering, obedient. That's what God manifested himself to Joseph. And he prospered everything on his hands. My brothers and sisters, the same way God can manifest himself to us, if we become obedient, loyal, and faithful to him, we need to know him more and more each day. Through his word, spending time with him, having a good relationship with him, talking to him as our friend, because he wants to be our friend. And I would like to read Ephesians 3:17, that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fulfillment of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, accordingly to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So when we have a good relationship with God, when we come to him all the time, we can see how God was with Joseph, how he prospered things, how he was taking it by his hand, even though he went to these trials, because for him, being in with his father with a family, and suddenly being taken to a place where he didn't even know. And not only that, he was sent over there, and he was a slave. And we know how they treat the slaves, how they were treating people that were slaves. They were beating them up, and they make him work real hard sometimes, even very little bit of food and stuff like that. So he went through all this, but the beauty of this is that he was holding into the Lord. He was holding fast into the Lord, and he didn't lose his faith. My brothers and sisters, faith, the faithfulness is not like a platform in our relationship with God. If we are not faithful, we cannot have a good relationship with God. Joseph's brothers, they suffered for a long time, and until they were pardoned, they had peace and clean conscience. Until they were pardoned, and then they were reconciliated, not only with his brother, with Joseph, but they were reconciliated with God. The scriptures say that without faith, it's impossible to please God. What pleases God is to live a lovingly, faithfully, obedient, faithfully obey his word, be obedient to his word. That's what it pleases God, because God says in his word that obedience, he wants obedience better than sacrifices. Loyalty is the fruit of faithfulness. Being loyal is easy to be faithful. Love is the base of faithfulness and loyalty to love Jesus Christ, our Lord. Loyalty tells us who we are. It's an unconditional person in all moments. Because we cannot serve God and riches. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other one." You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon, remember in the Bible, it talks, there was a God the pagans were worshiping. Without loyalty, there is no spiritual growing. We wanna grow spiritually. We wanna grow in Christ. We need to be loyal, faithful to the Lord. Faithfulness is not an act, but is something that conditions all our acts. Faithfulness is not a way of thinking, but conditions our ways to think. If I'm faithful, there are thoughts in which I will not follow and acts in which I don't participate. Faithfulness is not a feeling, but it's something that helps you to control your feelings, because the feelings can take you to the point to be unfaithful. Faithfulness don't have expiration day, because the scripture says in Revelation 2:10, and the last phrase, it says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, and he is known to be a man of integrity, honesty, probity, rectitude, honor, good character, principles, ethics, moral righteousness, morality, virtue, decency, fairness, scrupulousness. Excuse my pronunciation. Sometimes I don't know how to pronounce them. Sincerity, truthfulness. Integrity is essential for the Christians, for us. Integrity is essential for us. I will read some Bible verses. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Yes, amen. Job 17:9. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. In Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. In Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. And in Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And these are promises, my brothers and sisters. God promises that if we keep his commandments and that we are faithful to him, that he will be with us. Now there is a, it came a temptation for Joseph. Joseph's master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So when Potiphar's wife was asking him to lie with him, he didn't want to sin against God, and he says that. So he shows, he's telling us how strong he was faithful to the Lord. She insisted asking him to lie with her, but he refuses all the time. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and no one of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garments, saying, "Lay with me." But he left his garments in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to smug us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cry out with a loud voice." And it happened when he heard that I lift my voice and cry out, that he left his garments with me and fled and went outside. So when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was arose. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, in the prison place where the king's prisoners were. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his done. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So also the Lord not only make him prosper in Potiphar's house, but now in the prison where he is. And now the two other prisoners had a dream. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Both of them had a dream, and each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. So he asked Pharaoh's officer who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" So Joseph was asking Pharaoh's officers in the prison, "Why you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have a dream, and there is no interpreter for it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought from forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cups into Pharaoh's hand." He was the one that was giving the cup of wine to Pharaoh. And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your hand and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head, and the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within the 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. So it just happened the way Joseph told them. Then he restored the sheep butler on his battleship again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hung the chief the baker and Joseph as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He forgot him for about 2 years. At the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. This was by the river, the Jordan River. No, this is the Jordan River. It was the, I forgot the river. But he was by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the middle. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river, and the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh woke up, and he slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 17 heads, blighted by the east winds, sprang up after them, and the 17 heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh woke, and indeed it was a dream, so that morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret Pharaoh's dream. Now the chief butler remembered Joseph and tell Pharaoh. There was a young Hebrew man with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us, to each man his interpreter according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us. So he restored me to my office and hand him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it is said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." So Joseph answered to Pharaoh, saying, "It is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." We see the how Joseph honors God all the time. He says, "It's not me." He didn't get the credits. He said, "It's God that gives the interpretation." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph what he dreamed and says, "So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what is about to come, about to do, what God was going to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The seven good heads are 7 years. The dream are one, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east winds are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will be arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will be deplete the land." So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And and the dream was repeated so to Pharaoh twice, because the things is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. So now, therefore, let Pharaoh, this is what Joseph advised Pharaoh. He gave him an advice. "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt." So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all the servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In as much as God has shown you all these, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You should be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only regard to my throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in a garment of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him riding in this second chariot with him, which he had, and they cried out before him, bowed their knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. What a blessing. Now the famine began. The famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. I just was thinking, you know, one day also about sometimes God give us plenty. And sometimes, it happened to me, sometimes, you know, I just spend years when I have money, not thinking that there's times that we're going to need the money. And we also, it's not only that, but sometimes that money we can use it for other things, especially when it comes to help somebody in a need. So I'm just telling you this because one of my sons wanted to buy a truck and put all kind of stuff in there, and it's very expensive. I told him, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't agree with that. Oh, mom, but I want it, and I can do it. I said, no, this is not what I want you to do, because you don't know if you're always going to be healthy. You don't know if you wouldn't be always working in the same job. And I told him, it's just to show off. And I said, that's not good. I'm just teaching my children the best way God is advising me, the Holy Spirit. And I just praise God because he gave me good children. And they're not in the faith, but I don't stop praying for them because I know God loves them and God will bring them, because I know that Jesus Christ dies, he died for all of us. And I know that his sacrifice is not going to be in vain, that we all will come to the Lord and we all be saved, and we all will see Jesus Christ coming in glory when he comes, that we will meet him in the clouds, because he promises us that. And my brothers and sisters, let's put our faith in Jesus, which is our Savior. And I would like just to read this. This will be the last reading. this is Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, I just invite you to stand up if you want to be faithful, loyal, and obedient to our Almighty God and Savior, who greatly loves us and gave his life for us. Please stand where we are inviting the praise team. I do the last prayer. I will do the last prayer. No?